Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Here with you still in the summer, the podcast. I've forgotten what the thing is. We've spent so long trying to set this up. I think my brain's a little bit fried already and from the sunshine. The podcast. What do we say?
We take ourselves very seriously, but the game less seriously.
I think it's weird because we just don't have the music. Like that muscle memory is not there.
Yeah. Well, we'll put the music in later.
It doesn't help that we spent the last hour and a half trying to get the new equipment working.
Yeah.
And is it working?
No.
The podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're here in the rugby dungeon. Another scorching weekend. Another weekend closer to the season. I mean, I hate these hot, long, sunny days when it's just pining after rugby. I look forward to the rain coming in sideways and the cold and the sleet and the ice of December rugby.
Well, I watched a little bit on Saturday morning, which was not too dissimilar conditions to what you were describing because it was played in New Zealand in the middle of their winter. But it was some bloody good rugby.
Yeah, so a few weeks ago, I was in Gran Canaria and I was sat there. I was on a balcony and I was like, this is such nice weather. I would happily have this every day. Be careful what you wish for because we have it now. Every day, and I've never been so miserable. This morning, let me just adjust my mic. This morning, I woke up, I was immediately hot. I then spent the rest of the day lounging around feeling miserable. It's even too hot for coffee.
It's never too hot for coffee.
Yeah.
Never, ever.
It's just awful. It's coffee, awful. I can't wait for the first rains.
I can't wait till it rains just because my poor garden is it's struggling in the heat.
Well, talking about struggling with the heat, I was at everyone's favourite local rugby club this weekend.
Talk H?
Yeah. Favourite professional rugby.
Okay.
Not favourite, closest.
You were at Exeter Chiefs?
No. Closest.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. Closest. So Sale Sharks then, right? Ding.
Ding. There we go. Yeah. And they were really struggling. During the winter, they thought they were going to have too much water. They've dried out the pitch, and then all of this has come. It looks like the Gobi Desert over there. But the AJ Bell looks magnificent.
But I was thinking about this the other day, and like Worcester Warriors have an indoor training complex that they can probably air condition as well.
Yeah,
I bet they're loving it, loving life.
Do you know what? That's not well. I mean, that's a lot of air conditioning. You know a little bit about air conditioning, Phil.
I do.
So air condition a whole barn.
No expense spared for Worcester, whether it's Wi-Fi in the academy house,
yeah.
Super fast Wi-Fi in the private rooms.
In a house. Fair play. That's actually going to cost a lot. So it could be that is just a horrible melting den.
Yeah, I remember playing at, you know, the what was formerly called the JJB Soccer Dome?
Yes.
Near the Trafford Centre.
What's it called now?
I think something like Powerball or something
Power
like
League.
That. Power League soccer.
Power League football ball.
Yeah. Which on a day like today or a summer like this summer, it's way hotter than outside because it's just like a tin roof. Mm. There's absolutely no air conditioning. And there's no air changes.
Yeah. And this is how hot it's been. My kids' swimming lessons have had to be cancelled because the water is too hot.
No. Not fake news.
That is fake news.
No. It's Manchester School for Girls, and it's kind of like a conservatory almost set up. It's got see-through type roof.
Okay. So it's like a greenhouse.
It's a bit like a greenhouse. The water temperature is 42 degrees.
Really?
You like a bath, JB.
I do like a bath. I'm tipsy.
Are you tempted to go down there? They're not swimming in there, so you might as well enjoy yourself.
As long as they're not swimming in there, I would be tempted.
I think having a bath in Manchester School for Girls might be frowned upon.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway, the heat is still here. There's some rugby going on in the Southern Hemisphere, but there's plenty more to talk about besides. And I think, is this fair to say that we are about a week away from potentially England's greatest sporting achievement of the last 50 years being eclipsed? And that being, and is this a fair statement, of all the sort of mainline sports, England's rugby side of 2003 is England's best sporting team since the 1966 World Cup.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's very fair.
I think if you were wearing a cricket hat, you might say some of the Ashes victories.
Oh, well, that's fair.
But that is a two-horse race.
And maybe some of Britain's rowing teams. They've traditionally been very, very good.
Yeah.
But
some of the Olympics.
The big difference is, football is the global sport, isn't it, where you literally need a ball. You can play it barefoot, goalposts for jumpers, blah, blah, blah.
tattoo sleeves you need as well now.
You absolutely need that.
Yeah.
But if they do win this, it'll be the most marvellous achievement, certainly of my lifetime, to do with British sports. Can't think of anything close, actually.
So have you noticed the rugby football thing being stoked?
No, I haven't, actually. I really haven't. Seen the NHS versus football thing being stoked.
you doing a bit of stoking yourself
on
that one.
I've not seen... Yeah, there were some absolute morons on Twitter, mostly from Brighton.
The amount of footballers get paid is obscene, but the genuine suggestions that I've heard people say on the radio, where they say footballers should give back some of their money and it should be redistributed to nurses.
Let's not
That is actual communism, right?
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because Gareth Southgate was actually involved with this story, and it was a story regarding the Nurses Benevolent Fund. And what they did is they went around, they tried to bully footballers. This is not a joke. They tried to bully footballers into giving one day's wage from each of them. And most of them just immediately said, yeah, sure, we'll do that. Because actually, they're pretty good people most of the time. Some of the time, occasionally, whichever.
And they've got loads of money, so it doesn't really matter.
Gareth Southgate, if I've got this correct, blew the whistle on it, because at that time he was manager of Borough, and he said that all they were doing is threatening them with, like, bad, you know, you either sign up or we'll put you in the paper and this, that and the other. It turned into quite a serious story, but it started all on Soccer AM, and then the Nurses Benevolent Fund slowly disappeared, and just turned out they were trying to extort footballers.
Well, on the football rugby thing, there's quite a few footballers have accused rugby fans of being a bit salty or having an inferiority complex.
Or a superiority complex.
With regards to being very vocal about things like dissent with referees, pretending to be injured, diving, and all of that sort of thing.
That's kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Of course footballers should be more respectful to the ref, and of course they shouldn't go down diving, but I don't think it takes away anything from what has been. I mean, actually, that has happened, and it's been pretty pronounced in other games. But the one thing I noticed in the Sweden versus England match is none of that happened, really. I mean, there was a little bit of dissent to the ref. No one was diving. Towards the end, if someone went down injured, they looked like they were genuinely injured. I was very impressed by the whole thing.
And the ref in that game handled it very well.
He did.
Yeah.
As he did in the Belgium-Brazil game.
Yeah, I think the problem with the football thing is, if a team decides to play like idiots, like most of the South American teams this year,
Jordan Henderson with that quote-unquote headbutt, that was ridiculous as well. He went down like a sack of spuds.
Well, you know. Yeah, well, but we see it in rugby too.
Yeah, there was two of them.
Don't forget, not so long ago, it might be 10 years ago now, this is when I knew rugby had changed. There was a scrum, Julian White on one side, Andrew Sheridan on the other side, two of the hardest men on earth at this time, on earth. Julian White gives Andrew Sheridan a little tap, or was it vice versa, I can't remember, and one of these hardest men of all time just fell to the floor. I thought, all right. Well, that's a watershed moment. Rugby's changed. And it does happen.
It does happen in rugby. It does. I think the one thing I think that rugby should learn and see it, because rugby's never going to be as popular as football, because of the simplicity of the game, as you pointed out, JB. However, we can, as rugby continues to develop commercially, we can look, heed the warnings of what has happened from football. Beautiful game. All those videos of the reactions of fans has been absolutely brilliant. It's really captured the imagination. But the acceptance of the lack of values that football fans now have, but where they accept that FIFA is totally corrupt.
Yeah.
They accept that players dive and fake and try and cheat their teammates. They accept that they shout and scream at the referee as just, quote-unquote, it's just part of the game now, part of the modern game. We should never in rugby accept that.
But don't you think that's why this England team is so unusual? Because they're not like that.
I
disagree. I think this England team have covered themselves in glory so far. I agree. Really well.
But that's a relative measure.
But yeah, obviously, FIFA's got its problems and so on and so forth. But you know, people might say the same about world rugby when you see. I mean, I've never seen in football one team being screwed out of a World Cup place by a bent ref, and I've seen that.
No, just World Cup, just hosting World Cups.
There's that.
Yeah.
And there's a few Irishmen with the Henry handball who might disagree with that point as well.
Yeah, maybe. But you know, it does happen in rugby. There'll also be Irish people that'll say, we deserve to host the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it. You know, international sport across the board is pretty bent. Look at the Olympics. That's pretty bent. You know, just because football has executives that have two New York flats, one of them is stuffed with cats, and you know they carry about shoeboxes full of money.
Yeah,
it shouldn't take away from the tournament and what those players are doing.
And there's a really good book called Positive by this Australian discus thrower who gave up his place at the Sydney Olympics just before it because he couldn't face doing it on drugs. But he said that everyone. The discus was on drugs.
He's a man up then.
The only way he could compete and stay with the guys was by. It's a really interesting book. Werner Rietner, I think he was. He was an Austrian guy who moved to.
Austrian or Australian?
He was Austrian, but he moved to Australia.
That's confusing.
Represented Australia, discus thrower. It's a fascinating. He talks about walking into hotel rooms and seeing people hooked up to.
But I mean,
machines.
Same with UFC and fighting. They were previously all on drugs. It's a much cleaner sport now. Cycling, they've got doping. They've got mechanical doping. They've got everything under the sun there.
And then there's South Wales.
Yeah, I don't think football's any different to any other. Yeah, it's got some quirks, and I don't like it for various reasons. But you know, I don't think I would class it as any better or worse.
I don't want to piss on the chips of the whole football thing. I'm really, really enjoying it, but. I just think, in the context of rugby, there should be values that we don't let get blurred or go grey.
Completely agree with that, and I think it's we as fans and everyone who watches rugby and takes part in the game should instantly chastise any players who exhibit these footballer-like tendencies, the diving or the complaining to referees, the mouthing off, because. I don't like to see it, and I think generally we're on the right side of it. But as we've said in the past, the more professional and the more important games become,
the more it
will creep in, unless something is done. Because if you start,
how much would you need to be paid to throw yourself on the floor and pretend to get an injury? I know my number. I know my figure.
It'd have to be a few thousand.
A few thousand.
But then. The bit comes in if you disincentivize it by giving, for example, mouthing off to the referee, just march teams back 10 metres, like every single time, teams will stop it instantly.
Well, I'm not going to.
In football, if you started handing out yellow cards, the England Colombia game was an absolute disgrace. The ref lost control, the players completely lost control. It was an awful, awful thing to watch. I never want to see that in any kind of professional.
I'm not going to get on my high horse because. Broughton Park played a cup final against Rochdale, and we had one guy at least in the bin. I was playing tight head prop, and I was having a torrid afternoon. We were winning with about 5 minutes to go, and the scrum was on our line, and I went down. Not saying I needed to go down, but I went down, and someone said to me, "Stay down." So I stayed down, and the coach came on. He was right, "Pretend you're injured." So I pretended that I was injured, and we actually subbed me off. To have uncontested scrums so we could hold on and win that game.
So you went to 13 players to go to uncontested scrums.
Well, you don't have to go down to that lower level to see that. And it's interesting what you say, Phil, that the authorities need to come down on it. Nothing happened to France. Nothing happened to Wales. When they both cheated their... Well, they both
They gamed the system.
Looked to have cheated their way to a win.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So proof, the burden of proof on things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you've got a supposedly independent doctor saying that someone is either injured or concussed, then
you can't argue with that, can you?
Yeah, that is, well, you can't argue. Although that point does lead us nicely on to the bit of news coming out of France this week.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Well, can you summarise this?
The French League is due to start any day now, I can only assume.
Yep.
So top 14 fixtures have now been announced, and they've introduced some rule changes. So this is league rules rather than world rugby laws. So three main changes. 12 subs are allowed on each team.
Cool.
And players can come back players who've been subbed off can come back on if there is an injury, a blood bin, a HIA, or a front row.
Is 12 subs mean there could be 12 rotations, or there are 12 players?
12 players.
And they can all come on?
They can all come.
What?
All come on, and all come
so
back
hang on.
On.
We're looking at a...
That's the way I'm interpreting it. Yeah.
So, wow. 27 players can be involved in one game.
Ahead of the 23, the normal 23.
And that means players can... you're going to get even bigger... guys in the French League.
In the French League, yeah.
Well, that's lucky. They've got plenty of them.
Because you can have these power play...
30-minute guys.
15-minute
Yeah, 20-minute
units.
Guys.
It's such a difficult... So, these are not rolling subs?
No. It's so, let me
how big will benches be? 12 players?
12 players on
Jesus, that's ridiculous.
So, that's one of the changes. Second is the... Well, this is a two parts to one change, which is a blue card from the referee. So if the referee suspects someone of being concussed, he can issue a blue card, which definitively removes them from playing any part in that game any longer.
Don't like this at all.
At the referee's unique discretion.
At the referee's discretion, and not only does it mean they don't play that game, they then have a 10-day enforced rest.
That's ridiculous.
So you're taking the decision out of...
Medical hands
into the referee, who has got no information, no assessment, just sees someone concussed and sends them away for 10 days.
And does the TMO have any part to play in that? Can he say, I think you need to go back and have a look at this collision?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Oh, God.
No, this is bad, right? Because it's done with the best of intentions.
It is.
But let's be very clear. If, for instance, a Romanian ref was in charge of a game...
Well, yeah, this is the thing.
Yeah, it's too much power.
Well, imagine...
Even the game before. Even if the Romanian ref was in charge the game before the important game, he'd be issuing blue cards in front and centre.
That's where it comes in, yeah. The game before... So, Toulon are going through to the final. In the semi-final, they're 30 points up. They're definitely going through. The referee's been paid €50 or whatever it is. And just blue card three players because of suspected concussion, and they are, no matter what, no longer able to play.
That is ridiculous.
That's what. Like, why do we want to? Why do we want to make a referee's job harder? We just had a conversation about what we really need is officials to really be hot on the values of the game. Now we're going. We need you to have some quasi medical expertise.
Yeah, in a subject that we don't really know much about, and that people have dedicated whole careers to studying. But you, Mr. Referee, will... And here's the weird one, right? What if they don't give a blue card and the person is concussed?
Well, then
that's a serious case.
Well, then it's negligence from the referee.
You'd assume so.
What if a team doctor says, ref, we need to take him off, he's got... we think he might have concussion.
No.
Not.
Well, so any other changes?
No, they're the main ones. And
they're the main ones.
We've seen in the past in the French League and French internationals, head injuries not being handled particularly well. So I want to give them some credit for at least recognising they've not done it right in the past.
Yeah.
I cannot say that this seems to be the right way of dealing with the problem.
Very strange. Yeah. Very, very strange way forward.
Just to clarify... the 12 subs.
Yes.
That is 12 rotations rather than 12
Perfect. Love this.
So that probably is better.
And that definitely plays into the French culture of just massive units who don't train very hard.
Do you reckon that they jog off and as they jog off, instead of having a water bottle, they get a glass of wine, a bit of pate?
Well, you'd get props who would play 30. So two props would play 30, 30, and then the first one would come back for the last 20.
That's what we do at level 8. In fact, I think from level 6 down, they do rolling subs now.
Yeah, but with like 4 subs, though.
Yeah, five, depending on... Yeah, five.
Yeah, 3 or 5.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it isn't the same as professional rugby. But they
arguably, if concussion is such a big issue for them that they're empowering refs with it, arguably that is more likely to increase concussions because the emphasis isn't on being as aerobically fit.
It's smashing
some players,
things.
So the collisions are going to be bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. I like it, though, because it puts a whole new area of strategy into the game, and you could hold players on the bench which were very exciting, like huge ball carriers, and give them like 10 minutes off of the, you know, you got, it's almost like NFL. You could have like your big set and your mauling set or whatever you want in reserve. You can, it's really exciting. I love it.
I do understand that it will be interesting to see. The one issue I have with a lot of these law things which come in is we've just had a conversation about how popular football is and acknowledging that rugby will never get there, but the limitation of rugby is laws that are hard to understand. How can you make things simpler and clearer?
Yeah, mind you, NFL laws are really hard to understand. I mean, you try and explain a catch to someone, and that's a very large sport, so you know it's roughly on the right trajectory. You'll never be as big as football for the reasons that you mentioned before. Mm. But yeah, they sound like reasonable changes. I guess.
Did like just to
well,
just,
the blue
to tie,
card doesn't.
Yeah. Tie off the football rugby thing. Ellis Genge, did you see his tweet after England's win against Sweden? Yesterday.
No. But you women are top class.
Yeah, exactly that.
Ooh.
Did you guess that or did you know that?
No, I've seen it. Yeah.
Sweden, you might be out of the World Cup, but at least all your birds are mint.
good lad.
Can you imagine the tabloid reaction if a footballer had said that, or someone really, or a celebrity? I quite like that rugby can fly under the radar just a bit.
Yeah.
So talking about concussions, I went out for breakfast with a ex rugby player on Wednesday. Won't tell you who it is, but you might know something about this, Tim. A lot of players are retiring through injury, right? But it turns out a lot of players are retiring through injury, but they're also retiring through injury because of insurance payouts.
Yes.
And I thought this is interesting because a lot of the talk is about, you know, the lawmakers aren't looking after the players, it's too dangerous, look at the amount of retirements through injury. But actually, it turns out a lot of them are incentivized to do it, well, because they get a payout.
Well, yes. So it's like, it's that whole thing of pre-existing conditions. So if you have an injury... So, Phil, one of your many shoulder operations, maybe after the... How many did you have in the end?
One operation, but multiple injuries.
Okay, right. So, after your operation, if you then go back and play, and I think it's 10 games...
Yeah.
If that happens again to that shoulder and it causes you to retire, well, that's on you.
Right,
because you chose to go back.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I think it's something like that. So, when players get to a certain age...
Yeah.
Where...
Oh, the choices go back.
Yeah. If you're 24, 25, 26, you can probably go, that's right, I've got time to strengthen it.
Yeah, yeah.
The signs are good, it's healed well. But if you get to 33 and you could have another two-year contract,
yeah,
you've had two shoulder operations, well, and another one means they're not going to pay out on that.
Well, this guy I was talking to is down in London, and he was saying that he was... towards the end of his career, he was throwing himself into tackles, hoping for a bit of a shoulder sting or a bit of a concussion, so he could claim out on his policy, which I thought was an amazing comment to make.
Yeah, well, all he should have done was phone up Eddie Jones. Can I come to one of your contact sessions? Bit of jujitsu.
Goodness me, I've heard about another injury from the Jones camp, which I can confirm happened, but I'm not going to confirm on the podcast. I don't know if it's common knowledge, but they do sound just absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. And it doesn't sound good for lads.
Well,
now,
it's not good. So going through a tough session is good. Going through a tough session where you have, or a tough week where you have two guys with season ending knee injuries, two guys with bad ankle injuries, shoulder injuries, that's not good for anyone.
No. Well, this injury stopped this guy from touring, and he was going to tour, so you know, you probably put two and two together there. The last one on players' injuries, how's this for crazy? I've heard that there's a handful of players that signed up to a policy, and after they were injured, because the people writing the policy either didn't do it right or the underwriters don't know what professional rugby is. They managed to underwrite the policy to age 65, meaning these are retired players, and now getting paid, not as much as they were when they're playing, but paid a substantial amount up until the age of 60 or 65. Imagine explaining that to your boss.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't do our underwriting exactly right. Well, what do they do? Professional sport.
Oh, wow.
Written up to the age of 60. Cheers, lads.
Oh, my God.
So that would certainly, if you took a knock age 31,
yeah,
go back playing or get paid out till you're 60 or 65.
It's like winning the lottery, Tim.
It's like a lottery, a big lottery win.
Yeah. I mean, it's so much money that, comparatively so much money, it's not... Well, it is life-changing, I guess. It would cost you pretty much, what, £700,000, £800,000 in a pension to generate the sort of income that they're generating. Put it that way. Mm. But, interesting stuff, nonetheless.
Really is.
Yeah.
One big story that hasn't actually broken officially yet, but looks like it will tomorrow, is that Wayne Pivac will be announced as Warren Gatland's replacement following the Rugby World Cup next
Pivac. Year. Excellent news.
And Stephen Jones.
Good. Yeah. Really good. Really, really good. Happy with that.
Yeah. They've shown at Scarlets what a good coaching pair. And doing it in a slightly different way as well.
Yeah.
Using the talents that they've got available, upskilling the players they've got, and unearthing some real gems as well.
Mm.
So I think if you're a Welsh fan, basically, about as good as you could get.
He's like the ready, steady cook of rugby coaches. He just takes what he has, basic ingredients, whips up a dish.
whips up a Pro 12 championship.
Exactly.
I was going to say, what I don't know enough about Wayne Pivac.
Ready, steady cook. Oh, sorry.
I don't know. I know that's the red tomatoes or the green peppers.
Exactly.
I know all about that. Ainsley Harriott with his Susie Salt and...
He's trying to make a comeback. I keep seeing him on adverts and stuff.
But... Is Wayne Pivac, has he done that? What I don't know much about his coaching previously to know if he had this same style and he's imprinted it at Scarlets as he did somewhere else, or whether he has done what you've said.
I think he was coaching one level below provincial prior to going to the Scarlets. Right. I mean, I could be wrong on that. He's either an assistant at provincial level or was coaching like a mitre 10 or some sort of thing.
He did, Auckland, North Harbour, both in mitre 10. He also coached Fiji.
Did he?
Quit as head coach. So he quit before the World Cup in 2007.
Right, but if we want to just make up the bits in between, Fiji and a New Zealand provincial side are going to be sides which have incredibly good basic skills and a natural tendency to play attacking rugby. So... it may not be that he's arrived and gone, what have we got here? Okay, I think we've got some fast players. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be a philosophy.
Yeah, and if you work with players on skill development, even bad players like me, it was amazing how much better we would get at skills just by doing more skills every single session. Skills. They did exactly the same at RGC. They had good natural players and they just did skills for the first 2 years. And that's the basis of that club. So, I guess that's how you go about doing it.
I mean, you must be very excited hearing that as a Wales fan.
Who's a Wales fan here?
You are Welsh. Interesting. You're a Welshman. And how typical is that? Who's very excited about England? England's football team.
Who knows? I don't live there. I would say I'm very excited to see William Pivac in internationals because I think he'll do a wonderful job, and it's definitely going to be a more exciting tournament. In the same way, I'm super excited that Gregor Townsend took over Scotland, and that was a stroke of genius because Scotland are such a good team to watch.
Yeah.
Now, the twist here is what does Warren Gatland do? Because Warren Gatland is England's dream coach. He just is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's so, so good.
And he's so English. If you talk about Gatland ball, which obviously there's different interpretations of Gatland ball, which is either getting the best players into their positions, as you would say, JB, or the kind of...
The classic big direct style, direct.
Whichever version or definition of Gatland ball you want to take, it's not a bad thing to have all the players that England have at their disposal for someone who's going to follow either of those.
I would be utterly staggered if... Yeah, I'm going to say it. If Warren Gatland doesn't win multiple World Cups with England. Well, he's been at Wales for 10 years. he did Raw the World last World Cup. The World Cup before that, they were a red card away from making a final. You know, he's got two Grand Slams, three championships? He's won one Lions tour. He's drawn another. Yep. And somehow he still gets a stick.
Sean Edwards would love it as well.
Yeah.
Proud Englishman.
Yep. And, yeah. Tell you what, those boys in England, my word. Let's hope it never happens. Rugby would be over as a competitive spectacle.
you'd have an interesting decision to make whether to take Sean Edwards or go for Farrell.
Go for Andy Farrell.
Because he had Farrell in 2017 with the Lions.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do wonder if he does that because he just wants to learn more things. He knows everything he needs to know about Sean Edwards.
True. Yeah.
You know, as much as Sean Edwards would love to go on the Lions tour, ultimately, he wants to know as much about other coaches as he possibly can.
If he was offered the New Zealand job and the England job.
A New Zealand job, I suspect, because...
I think he would.
It'd be
a significantly lower salary.
Is it, though? Are you sure about that?
I would have thought so.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced, actually.
Well, they could... I think they would know.
Paid coach in sport?
Well, that was... No, no. God, no.
No, can't be.
But Warren Gatland was the highest paid coach in rugby until very recently.
New Zealand know that they could pay him probably, let's say, two-thirds what England could offer him, and he'd still choose New Zealand, I think.
Yeah, he does spend 6 months of the year in New Zealand.
Yeah.
You know, he does still have a bit of affinity for it.
Those windows aren't going to clean themselves.
Exactly.
He's going out of that ladder.
You can make sure that Bryn Gatland... gets a
the thing is,
All Blacks cap.
I mean, I'm talking out of school here because I don't know. But how well does he get on with New Zealand? How well does he get on with their way of doing things? And is he the guy that they want? Because they're very particular. Well,
so, yeah, I think they won't go for him.
Agreed.
I think if he got offered it, he would take it over England, even if England were offering significantly more money. I don't think they'll offer it him because I think they'll want to develop from
him. I wonder.
And it's not like they're short of talented coaches looking at the Super Rugby teams at the moment.
Well, okay, so Pivock's going to have Wales. Gatland's going to be at a loose end. Eddie's going to stay 2 years after England finishing the World Cup regardless.
Take a compromise deal, take a chunk of cash and walk away.
Yeah, but I mean, let's imagine for fun. Because what Eddie's supposed to do is integrate the new coach, right, for 2 years. Imagine those two working together.
Yeah, it'd be hilarious. Yeah. Sitcom.
Because that deal was struck at a time when they were thinking, oh, it'll be Baxter. Or someone else of that level.
I'm telling you, even Rob Baxter wouldn't have that. He wouldn't have that.
No, no one would.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to be pretty insecure in your own abilities to want Eddie Jones to hold your hand. And, you know, he's probably going to go in the group stage. So, yeah.
Please not again.
So, it's a pretty tricky one. However, here is the spanner in the works. Why not, if New Zealand don't want him and England have got this funny thing going on, surely Michael Checker has run his course for Australia. And it's sort of close to home.
Checker, every time he's looking bad and the team starts to fall apart, he then goes and puts in some good performances and good results.
Yeah.
Their performances against Ireland...
And changes a rule or two, or gets a player back into the union like Kirtley Beale, or who knows, maybe Matt Tamua.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Interesting.
So, if he doesn't get England, God, I'd love to see what he could do with South Africa or Australia.
Well, South Africa, Razzie...
They're done, I think.
I think they're fairly settled. Yeah,
but Australia could be the one.
Mm. I think Australia are building nicely. It will. So all of this is said 15 months out from a World Cup.
Maybe he just
when
retires.
Anything could happen. You could see one of those teams that we just discussed fail to make the quarterfinals, fail to get out of the group stage, like we saw in 2015, and then all bets are off. Anything could happen.
I wonder if he just retires.
He might do.
Just leave.
Let's stay in New Zealand, though, and Australia and South Africa. What's going on with Super Rugby? The on-field stuff has been mixed. Off-field stuff is...
This is all news to me.
It's tickling my head a little bit. What's going on?
The off-field stuff?
Go on.
Well, like, aren't the Lions in significant trouble, like winding up?
Are they?
Ooh.
I've heard like the Lions are in a bit of trouble, but then they're going to go back to a round-robin system. Get rid of some of the teams. There's talk of potentially the Sunwolves going to the wall.
Some Wolves going to the war wouldn't surprise me, having seen their 77-point hide in at the hands of the Waratahs. Admittedly, they were in contention until there was a red card.
So I believe that they're looking at 16 teams with a round robin system reinstated because the conference system isn't working.
I quite like this year when they've reintroduced the three conferences of five rather than two of five and two of four. I actually think this is more logical. There are teams struggling.
What about Jaguares?
Well, Jaguares,
they've qualified for the playoffs.
They have definitely qualified for the
despite
playoffs.
Despite losing, yeah, they still qualified, first time ever.
Yeah, and they're going to get, because they're in seventh, so they will get the second place team, which will be the Lions or the Waratahs. But that's only because, so the three best teams are Crusaders, Hurricanes, Chiefs, but because one from each conference automatically qualifies in 1, 2, and 3 to get a home semi-final. Jaguars will actually get an easier game than if it was the top teams in order. So that's good for him.
Well,
the problem is that the fourth and fifth teams. So it goes top three from the conference. So the top one in each conference automatically get a home semi-final. Then the fourth ranked team, who is the Hurricanes. Then you just go down fifth through to eighth. So you get the top three, then you get Hurricanes, then Chiefs, then Highlanders as the fourth, fifth, and sixth, which means that the Hurricanes are certainly... there is a possible chance that they'll play the Highlanders, but they're almost certain to play the Chiefs, which is... You've got the second and third best team playing against each other in the quarterfinal.
I see. Right, well, when does that all kick off?
2 weeks. And this weekend, as a warm-up to the Hurricanes playing the Chiefs, the Hurricanes play the Chiefs.
Oh, nice. Nice. So dress rehearsal time.
We've got back-to-back games.
So, Chiefs, Hurricanes, is it Beauden Barrett versus D-Mac?
Yeah.
We will be in the second of the two games. Don't know about the first. But Beauden was just warming up with a ridiculous intercept and no-look reverse.
It's amazing how far his game's come on since we gave him that tie.
Since we gave him the Egg Chasers class at the World Rugby Awards. Yeah, you're right.
It's gone from strength to strength.
The thing about that, he actually held it. We watched him, we chatted to him, gave him the tie, got a picture, and we...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Watched him walk out of the room and he held the tie the whole time. You know,
yeah, he binned his Player of the Year award.
Yeah, he
held
the
tie.
Award, held the tie.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually. What a great guy.
Yeah, what a great guy.
Do you know who else owns Egg Chasers ties?
Eddie Jones?
No, he doesn't. He didn't. Did he? No, we didn't. We didn't get one.
We didn't give Eddie Jones one, though.
We gave up two.
Ooh. Who else did you interview?
The Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Men's Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Women's Player of the Year.
Do you know what? We should have given one to... Yeah, why didn't we?
I forgot her name now. The Kiwi. Was she?
Portia Woodman.
Yes.
Was it Portia Woodman?
Yes.
Portia Woodman,
yeah. She was ace, actually. Yeah, maybe we should... are we allowed to get female-centric gifts? Because is that not just being horrifically sexist? Do we have to give him a tie?
Well, what we should do is get both and then
let them choose. Yeah, exactly.
What women's-based Egg Chasers branded merchandise could we possibly get?
Handbags?
What about if you got... Oh, the pocket square would be too big. I was going to say, if you got like a pocket square that was big enough that it could also be like a shawl
neck type thing. Yeah, okay.
So Sale have got issues at the moment. Big issues.
Okay.
They're getting
where's this going? I don't know where we're going with this.
They're getting. I'm looking forward to this a lot. So that the after match attire is going to be a brushed navy wool, right, with a light blue check. But apparently, it doesn't look too good on the lady stuff, and they're kicking up a right fuss. So they've got exactly the same problem as the Egg Chasers have.
Ah,
yeah,
they've got a brand slightly differently
for their
markets.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, let's stick with your beloved Sale Sharks and say that Chris Ashton was confirmed this week.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to have a chat with Chris Ashton, actually. So he was at the Sale Sharks corporate sponsors barbecue thing. Got to interview Marlon Dyord, which will be out on Rugby Dungeon imminently. And hopefully I'll get Chris Ashton on in a few weeks. But he's a really lovely chap. I mean, I say that about a lot of people, but he is one of the easiest guys to talk to.
Very affable.
Yeah, have you met him before?
Yeah.
He's a really good bloke.
Yeah, just really friendly. It was interesting, Alex Sanderson was asked about him, and he said, I got messages from him a lot. He's just as cheeky and cocky as he always is on the messages, so it's glad to have him back in England. Good to have him back in England. Wish him all the best. And then he was asked, did you look at him? And he said, no, with the release fee that was required for Talon. He said, obviously, we look at all players when they're available, but with the release fee, it was too expensive.
And they've already got Stretts and already got Lewington. I'm sure they would love him.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they would.
But Maitland and Sanjay.
Mm.
Sale, McGuigan, Solomona, Yard.
Yeah, true.
So I was very lucky. I got to speak to Sale ownership. I think you'll find that
Sale ownership got to speak to you.
Mm. Yeah, correct. I think you'll find the person who's most into Sale Sharks is, don't say me. The most enthusiastic member is
Steve Diamond.
No, Michelle Orange.
Really?
Simon Orange's wife.
Wow.
She is super into rugby.
Wow.
So I'm expecting a few more bits and pieces from Sale. This isn't from any inside.
Oh, no. Well, he said when you and I were at Carrington, he said that there's some South African boys that are going to be joining the club.
Yeah.
Mm. Southern Hemisphere. He said.
And they look good, too. I mean, like, they were doing scrummaging practice. Their new prop, Joe Jones, RGC lad, looks terrifyingly strong.
Mm. So, it's interesting because the fabric of that club is changing. I mean, well, firstly, let's just stick on Chris Ashton because that's the story here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Alex Sanderson is right, and I think Sale Sharks are wrong to spend, if it's reported, the wages £450,000 and the release fee, to spend that much on that player.
The thing is, you've got to ask yourself, what are Sale's problems? And Sale's primary problem...
Front five.
No, I disagree with that. I disagree. Their primary problem isn't a playing squad problem. Okay, they've got the players. Every squad can be strengthened. It's fine. Sale's problem is attracting people to that ground. Now, they've gone some way to solving the transport issue. But still, if you asked the general public, you know, who is Faf de Klerk, not going to know. Who is John O'Ross? Not going to know. The fact that they've got two of the best players in the Premiership is somewhat by the by, because what you do need is Chris Ashton, because people know who Chris Ashton is. And Chris Ashton will contribute phenomenally to the rugby side, but just as importantly will be the commercial side. And I think even if he does go away for internationals, well, that's fine, because at least Sale are back on the map with the average rugby fan, or someone who wouldn't usually go might now consider going because Chris Ashton's about.
So do you think we'll see a spike in attendances this year?
I think... Well, attendances did go up last year, and I think they'll go up further again this year. Hmm. So, I mean, they've already nailed the corporate stuff. The corporate stuff is as good as anywhere. So it's going to be very, very exciting. I'm very excited for what's going to happen next.
For in a supporting Sale for another season.
Well, you know, Northwest Rugby. It's important. It's important to us all.
It's interesting. It's a lot of cash. And he's a player of undoubted quality.
Yeah, and I think
I might have gone for an out and out 15 if I had half a million burning a hole in my pocket, a lock and a fullback.
I think you're absolutely right. If this was a established team like a Leicester or
what are you talking about? What are you talking about? An established team? They're
yeah, because Leicester's problems, for instance, are playing squad based. They need to get much much better. Whereas Sale's problems are more commercial and well, not even commercial attendances. So, yeah. So you know he fits the problem that they have. But I agree with you 100% from a rugby point of view.
So you are very optimistic about the difference he will make to their attendances.
Do you know, yeah, to the attendances. I don't think it'll make much difference to try scoring because they score a load of tries.
Yeah,
anyway.
Try scoring is not one of their problems.
Yeah, what you're going to replace 14 tries a year with 15 tries a year. Yeah.
And also, I'd look at this in a how can I win the league this year?
Yep.
Or how can I get in, how can I make that top four and potentially win the whole thing this year rather than how can I try and get another 1,000 people regularly attending the match. I think that would be the way around I'm going. I'm sure that is the way Steve Diamond's mind works, because winning the league is gonna
winning
the big games, getting qualifying for the European Cup.
But what comes first, chicken or egg? I mean, do you want the sustainability of Crowell so you can win consistently, or do you want to win once and hopefully? I mean, look at the Wasps situation. They've taken a big gamble, haven't they, by lending all that money that they can win big now, fill up their stadium, and then be sustainable in the future. And it looks like that's backfiring horribly. So these teams have got to ask themselves, do we want to win now at all costs, or do we want to slowly build and be sustainable?
Well, I'd say what would Rob Baxter have done? What would Rob Baxter do?
What would Rob Baxter do? I mean, that's a pretty good place to head. You know, yeah. I mean, but all these teams, like I was talking to Stephen Vaughan from Gloucester, you know, when I asked him, like, what was the first thing he did, he said that he looked at all different models. So, you know, you might be looking at Rob Baxter, you might be looking at, you know, the Sale Sharks team that won it 11 years ago, or the Leinster team that, you know, have been so successful now. There are multiple models, but yeah, Rob Baxter's a good place to start, isn't he?
The other interesting part of this one, and again, I don't want to talk about Sale for too long, because there's lots of other things to talk about, but is what the DNA of that club and the identity and what Steve Diamond has said they are has changed now, and it is gone. That we are local lads. We're all local lads.
Ashton's local.
Well, no, yeah, you know, you say that, but like, there's
Faf's local.
You will likely have a back line, South African, American. South Africa.
Whoa, he's Irish.
He's not local either way.
Well, yeah, but there's so many Irish in Manchester. Okay. They're interchangeable. I mean, like
South African scrum half, Irish fly half, American fly half, South African centre,
Australian centre,
Australian centre James O'Connor, because that's where he's going to be playing. His 13, Scottish / Zimbabwean,
Namibian winger,
English slash Kiwi slash Samoan,
yeah,
and English.
Yeah, there is that. I mean, you know, you've got other lads as well. You've got Kieran Wilson coming through. You've got Jennings. You've got Sam James. You've got Luke James.
I'm not knocking
you
it.
Know, but it's a good mix. I agree with you, though, because me and Phil had this exact conversation yesterday, which is, I believe, because of the Ulster situation that they find themselves in, that the only sustainable policy is next cab off the rank from your academy. I mean, I strongly believe that. And I think that maybe, I think they have signed probably too many. Because it's all about who's next. Now, the Premiership doesn't lend itself too well to that.
No, it doesn't.
Ulster does, though.
Well, the fact that I was saying, well, I'm a bit unsure whether Ashton will work out to be a good signing or not at that money, because he's a potential England international, potential star of the World Cup. That should be, oh wow, what a signing. But you're right, the league.
Yeah.
Structure, the way it works, disincentivizes.
And also,
English international players.
You know, once you've had a taste of an international player in your team, right? You've tried for so long to build this team, and you get your Tommy Taylors and they leave, and you know, Will Addison's and they leave, and then you bring one guy in, or two guys like John O'Ross and Faf de Klerk. That is addictive for an owner. He wants to do that every time now. Every time he wants to buy a player. I think it's very hard to stick to your gun and say, we're going to just get more lads through the academy all the time. Because you want to win now.
Yeah, you want to win now, and there is always in the Premiership what you were alluding to before, the threat of relegation.
Yeah, which is disaster.
Yeah, you're right.
Which, yeah.
Absolutely.
Relegation is absolute disaster. You only need to look at London Irish and Bristol Bears, who have been yo-yoing.
I love the way you're calling them Bristol Bears. You're so corporate.
I'm on brand.
On brand.
And that's a good point at which to say that in future weeks, starting next weekend, we are going to be starting our look ahead to the new season by having a bit of a deep dive and a focus on two clubs per episode.
How each club is comparing to Sale Sharks. Yeah. That's going to be our standard.
Well, one of the two clubs every week is going to be Sale Sharks.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other one
it'll be a direct, home, yeah. Yeah, direct comparison. Yeah. At random.
Some other moves. Samu Manoa to Cardiff Blues is rumoured.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you who else
has
signed.
He looks like he's enjoyed himself on the South Front.
who's the other bloke? Dimitri Ohip has signed for them. Mm.
Yeah, after he was supposed to be going to Montpellier.
Yeah, that's a few lads that's happened to. You know. Julian Salvi happened to. Matthew Tate. These French teams don't always come through with the
Samu Manoa is
deal promised.
He's yeah. 33 now, but he didn't start playing rugby till he was 25, so he's still got miles on the clock.
I actually thought he was a lot older than that. Mm. I'd take Samu Manoa, 33 years old.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, yeah.
Henry Purgos has gone to Edinburgh, Nick Frisby's gone to Glasgow. That's about the only moves, really, at the minute.
Sorry, Purgos has gone to Edinburgh?
Yeah.
That's a decent pickup for them. Because they've lost a... Where's Hidalgo Klein gone? Worcester.
Did he go to Worcester?
Yeah.
Rumoured.
He's not listed on their signings for this season.
I've played rugby with Purgos' brother. He plays prop.
And does
looks,
he?
And looks identical to Ed Sheeran. Identical.
You mentioned Bristol Bears, and let's move on to the Gallagher Premiership. I'm going to have to keep saying that for the next 6-7 weeks.
On brand.
Gallagher Premiership. Gallagher yep. Premiership. The Gallagher Premiership fixtures have been announced, and how about that for an opening day game? Bristol hosting Bath.
Yeah.
Ooh.
On the Friday night.
Right, what's happened to the London doubleheader this year? Is that still
because
going?
Of the redevelopment of Twickenham, that is gone. Whether it will return, we don't know.
Right,
but one,
I understand.
One interesting thing, I don't think it's in the opening week, but it's in one of the early weeks, I think in October perhaps. Harlequins versus Saracens is going to be on NBC proper.
Harlequins versus Saracens? Wow.
On the network.
Oh, ooh. God, why have they selected Harlequins? Of all the teams.
Well, we don't know what effect... when we get into our deep dives, we'll look at the clubs, but what effect could Paul Gustav
I've got a question
have?
For you.
The biggest change for Quins is not the players they're bringing in.
Oh,
it's
my
the
goodness.
Changes.
No, the biggest change for Quins is not the coaches, not the players. It's the kit.
What have they
done?
So, I'm okay with a home one. I don't mind the home one. It's that... highlighter green one that I have a real
they
look
like the ball
big issue
from Star
with
Trek.
It is
awful.
The worst rugby kit I've ever seen.
No, it's not the worst one you've ever seen. That's ridiculous.
It's great.
No.
What were they thinking?
Leicester Tigers fade out kit was the worst you've ever seen, where it faded from left to right. That was the worst.
Oh, I can't remember
What is the worst kit of all time?
They had their gingham picnic blanket shirt, that white one with the.
That was bad, but it was nothing compared. It fitted badly, it looked poor, and it faded out to whites across the chest.
Where does this Harlequins one rank in relation to Northampton Saints' lime green monstrosity?
Well, yeah, they've...
Was it lime green? Oh, that lime...
Because they had their lime green, and then they had their, blue green.
I liked the powder blue.
Oh, I did not like... It was nothing. It was absolutely nothing.
They should have a burgundy one, Saints. That's always been their third colour. That's what I should go for. Anyway, that's not important, because I've got a more important question. If you were going to show a game to Americans, who would be the two teams that you'd put in there for most impact?
Scarlets Glasgow. If it was...
From the Premiership.
From the Premiership?
Yeah.
Newcastle. Because they're not going to know any of the players, so that's irrelevant.
Yeah, the names are irrelevant. It's how they play the game. So you want open, expansive.
Exeter, Newcastle.
I mean, I love the picking girl.
Gloucester, Exeter.
You don't know what Gloucester's going to turn up.
Yeah. Actually, Gloucester's a very good one because they're very exciting. I had a funny story about
Sale.
Sale Wasps.
Sale away.
Sale Wasps is a good one.
Sale at the Rico. Sale Wasps at the Rico.
Rico. Yeah. Yeah.
Or Sale...
What's the AJ Bell?
Sale at... That game at Kingston Park, Sale Newcastle, was outstanding.
Yeah.
So really attacking teams. But, artificial pitch, so the weather's not going to bog it down.
I had something quite funny this week about coaches doing their level four. Apparently, Premiership coaches go and present to other Premiership coaches who are doing their level four.
Okay, yeah.
But it was described as a complete and utter waste of time. because none of the coaches want to give away like anything. so every presentation for the level four RFU coaching is, yeah, we have no structure. The boys just play what's in front of them. And then they're watching the screens and they're like, well, we can see your structure here. Like, no, we have no structures. We have no structures. We just develop
structures?
Skills.
What structure?
Yeah. So, yeah, they don't tell each other anything on level four. So if you're thinking about going on level four, don't do it because, you know, Ali Heeper will not tell you a thing or whoever it is.
Don't do it if you're hoping to scout other premiership coaches.
Do you know what?
I'm sure it's very good.
Going back to the American thing, if knowing how much Americans think, like, we live in little castles.
Well, you do.
Hey?
Yeah. I mean,
oh, yeah, I've got a castle.
Yeah, you've got a moat.
Yeah, it's got a moat. Yeah.
You've actually got a moat. No, you've got numerous water features now.
I've got a couple of ponds.
You've got three ponds. Yeah. How salubrious to have three ponds.
But Bath, just how it would look.
Do you know what? That's
Americans
such a...
would love how that looks.
Would they have to show it live, though? Because if they did, you're showing the Americans Bath right... Because to get Bath, you need it on a nice, crisp winter's day.
Blue sky,
but in the afternoon, and that might be their morning. That might not work.
You have to get extra floodlights for the town hall.
Yeah.
Pulteney Street and all of that, so you can extra floodlights in, so it can illuminate the streets.
And they do look great, Bath, don't they, in their hoops, if they get that kit right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're actually the ultimate ambassador of what English rugby is, elitist.
Yeah.
Traditional. They're perfect.
We're both wearing Bath kits.
Oh yeah, we are. We're both wearing Bath.
Wow, you are.
Yeah. Bath vests.
I'm wearing Sam Burgess era. What's that one?
I was thinking I look a bit like Sam Burgess. You're more like, I don't know, Benno Urbano.
Disagree. I'm very much. No, this is actually. I actually got this vest to look like Sam Burgess. It's even got the little gold stripe, the 150 year gold stripe. The only model I remember wearing that one is Ross Batty.
This is Max Lahiff. Max Lahiff fit.
Oh, by the way, Max Lahiff was on an advert the other day doing a deadlift.
Was he?
Yeah, and he was 10 kg short of what you did in the in the country
just
open day.
Warming up.
Yeah,
that's a better place for a rugby prop to appear in an advert rather than Petrus Duplessis eating Haribo.
Oh yeah,
is that what he's doing?
Yeah,
did you not see the one in the changing room where the adult the grown ups talk with kid voices? Petrus
God,
Duplessis
no.
was in that Haribo advert.
Yeah,
interesting bloke, Petrus Duplessis. I'd love to interview him because he's doing loads of. Seen these videos with like the neck strength and neck and injury prevention for scrimmaging.
Yeah, because yeah. So he was.
Is he still doing his YouTube videos?
Borislav
as well.
I've not seen any Borislav for a while.
I think when he's trying to get his neck. Prevention stuff seriously considered, he tends to tone down the Borislav.
Yeah. Well, so he's a trained physio. He did that because he came over to the UK, played at LSH, then did his qualifications, then played at Sedgley for a few years before getting picked up by Nottingham, a season at Nottingham, and then Saracens for
my brother was at Nottingham. He was there. I think I might have said this before on a previous podcast, but they had a really amazing fitness coach at Nottingham, so he's now working at a top French club. He's a French guy, and he was awesome. And they had him he would follow Petrus around.
Yeah,
he would go and do his weekly big shot for him, and just turn up randomly and check what was in his check what he was eating.
I'd love someone to do that for me.
And he shredded. he lost. So much weight and then got picked up by Saracens.
Amazing, yeah. Isn't it?
I remember seeing him. So he was always phenomenally strong and a good runner because he was only a young lad when he was at Sedgley. But he was never in particularly good shape and never as disciplined on the training. But I remember seeing a picture of him 6 months into his Nottingham stint and he was in unbelievable shape.
And he's a double European champion.
Yeah.
Not bad, eh?
Absolutely.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Borislav as well.
And he's Borislav.
Who's a double intercontinental champion, actually. Which is amazing.
I did enjoy one pre-season picture from Liam Williams at Saracens. He had one of those resistance bands around his legs with the caption, "Trying to straighten those legs, boy!"
Nice.
Nice that he's aware of it. I like it when people are aware of stuff. What else is on your agenda, Philip?
Did we have much else on?
Not really.
I think that's it. We've hit every point. There was an interesting... Just talking about the Quinns kit. There was
the monstrosity that is the Quinns kit.
Well, There's the three that they announced. So there's the... I actually quite like the home one with the... It's got the horizontal, very fine stripes.
Yes, I don't mind it.
And some diamonds hinting in there. Then there's the highlighter one. And then there's one of their training kits, which is also is quite nice. It's like a player's tee. It's at Rugby Saracens, who is one of the Rugby United Saracens Twitter accounts, who we met in,
good bloke.
In Philly. Yeah, yeah, really nice bloke. He's got quite an interesting Twitter feed or thread on the worst kits of all time.
Oh, yes.
Including... Now, that is...
One
that
of the
is,
best kits of all time.
That is not one of the That's worst kits of all time.
That was groundbreaking.
The Stade Francais.
The flowers. Oh, no. The pink and blue flowers.
Yeah, do one. Come on.
Yeah, you probably need to reconsider that.
That's beautiful. They've got that Perpignan one. That is
horrendous.
That is awful.
That is so you can't... Obviously, this is a podcast. Yellow and red... Go, diamonds.
Go to at Rugby Saracens to have a look at these.
Yeah.
And then there's some... So Northampton, there's 8 kits there of Northampton, which are...
well, actually, the top left, the
two in the top left are okay. And that bottom...
Good God.
The rest of them are awful.
They've got such... Northampton old school kits. I like the Gloucester, by the way. We talked about this on the podcast. They've sort of returned to that... Quite a traditional, like the era of. I remember James Forrester and not James Forrester. What's his name? The number 8 who played for England.
Yeah, James Forrester.
James Forrester. Phil Vickery was there.
Yeah,
they had that Pete Buxton and players like that in that mainly red
Jim,
with
Jim thin, Simpson Daniel.
James Simpson Daniel. Yeah, and he was the winger who then went to Worcester. Garvey.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
All that era. So the red with thin. Dark blue and white hoops.
Yeah, nice.
Lovely. They've gone back to that this year.
Have they?
Yeah.
Are they still X-Blades? Because the X-Blade shorts are everything I want in shorts. In they're very, very short. The X-Blade shirts are... They just don't fit right. Mm. They're baggy in all the wrong places. Mm. Leave far too much to the imagination.
Mm. Yes, quite. I don't think I've got anything else to say.
No, I've just quickly... hopped onto Twitter and we've had quite a few people getting in touch. We should talk about the Sevens World Cup next week.
You should, if I knew anything about it.
Well, we'll do our research and we'll talk about the Rugby Sevens World Cup. We'll do that next week.
When does it start?
2 weeks, 2 weekends. It's 24th to 27th, something like that.
Is that in San Fran?
In San Francisco.
So
yeah.
I do know a rather good expert when it comes to Sevens. I might go and tap him up.
Yep. Our mate Gavin Doyle said, if England or France win the Football World Cup or even reach the final, do you think the increase in popularity of football in either country could be a detriment to rugby?
No, because football could be as popular as as it likes. I'm always going to want to play rugby. We're always going to want to hit people. You either want to play it or you don't.
Football is already the most popular sport.
Yeah.
I don't think it will do.
We've had quite a lot of people asking about the Tier 2 tour or otherwise, so we need to get...
Right, okay, so I'm going to just throw out some suggestions, all right?
Yeah.
So, I think it should be Madrid Mark 2, because I loved it so much. And we've got the venue, so on and so forth. But there
you hate that venue.
Well, that venue, yes. No, they're not getting our business again. No way.
Tim, if you can find another venue in Madrid, and believe me, I have tried.
Yes, well, there is no other venues in Madrid.
There are no other, but I mean, I really tried.
I refuse to go. You can go back there. I'm not going back to that place.
Right, okay. the Italian Derby, to me, sounds glorious.
Treviso versus Zebre.
Yeah.
Just up the road from Vienna as well.
It is. Mm. Now, here is where it gets a little... Venice, sorry.
Yeah. Cool.
Here's where it gets a little bit controversial. Sale are going to Bordeaux.
No.
And they're going to Connacht.
I would rather do a random...
Yeah.
I don't think we should do a Sale game. I'd rather do like...
At Bordeaux?
I'd rather do like Bordeaux-Lyon or Lyon-Bordeaux or something like that.
So if we're going to go like this, what about then one of the best rivalries is... Biarritz against Bayonne.
Okay.
And it's on the French coast.
Yeah,
on south of France.
Southwest coast.
It's a great surfing town.
I'm all for that as a trip, but are we getting away from the point of
Tier 2.
The Tier 2
no,
tour.
No, so for us to have a good old booze up.
Well, we can go and do that as well. But what
Portugal, watch out for Portugal as well.
Well, yeah, there's that. But who are the lowest ranked teams in the European Challenge Cup? Who are the two that have been sort of bumped up from...
NSI.
Well, NSI are one of them, obviously. But there's... Is there a German team?
There was, but they got booted out because Peter Hans Wild owns Stade Francais as well. And they were both in the same competition.
That could have been all right.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout.
But we could do...
Yeah, it needs to be... It can't be top-tier rugby. That's the only thing we know.
I wouldn't mind doing...
French second division sounds great.
Well, we could do Rugby Nations Cup, so Six Nations Tier 2, what? Or even Six Nations Tier 3.
What about...
Yeah.
So a friend of mine did, I think it was Czech Republic, Moldova.
Prague. In Prague. That's
tasty.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A bit closer to home. How about Cornish Pirates? Well, why not?
Let's take this off the pod. Mm. Yeah. Take it offline.
Well, the reason I brought it up is, firstly, anyone have any suggestions? Because traditionally we have tied it to the Six Nations and looked at the tournament below, and we're still open to that idea. But we feel a little bit hurt by the goings-on, the shenanigans this year.
That's why I think we should go back and support Spain.
Yes.
You know, to let them know that we've not forgotten them.
Yeah, I hear that. I also sometimes looking at something new. Anyway, at this point, it's a blank sheet of paper with a few ideas on it that we've just spouted there. But if you have another thought, or Phil's got a mate that went to Czech Republic v Moldova, if you've also know people that have gone and tried something out, or there's a city that's particularly good
send
fun,
us sealed bids.
Yeah.
So yeah. In the tier below, so Portugal are playing a playoff against Romania to qualify upwards, which probably Romania will win. But then, so Portugal, Holland, Czech Republic, Switzerland, Poland, Moldova. So there's options there.
Mm.
Going to Prague or I don't know where Switzerland play.
Poland's fun.
Switzerland would be bloody expensive.
Yeah, but there's something nice about things being very, very expensive.
Yes, it's true.
I was in Switzerland. I was on Lake Geneva for a wedding last year, and it was tremendous.
Really?
It was phenomenally expensive, actually. But
look,
it's very good.
If you know the game, right, and you want to host us for whatever reason, just build it and we will come.
Yeah. I wanted to try and get to more European games, not necessarily internationals, but just more.
Yeah.
More European rugby this year.
Well, that is where we could build it around. Potentially, there's a Challenge Cup or Champions Cup game on a Saturday and a Sunday, potentially in two different French towns, for example.
Which is what we did last year with our Belfast and Dublin trip.
Yes, we did. That was a good trip. That was more of a private trip.
I'd be up for doing that. So, well, I'm up for doing, not necessarily the Tier 2 tour. I think we should still do that, but just more weekends like that.
Hmm. Yes. Yeah, so generally, let the boys play.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right, there you are. Nice hour for you all.
Haven't you guys got to watch Love Island?
We've got to watch Love Island. We're an hour late, and then we've got to do bloody Love Island pod.
Yeah, make sure you get the Love Island pod in your life. The biggest unofficial Love Island podcast there is. I'm ashamed and proud because
builds from nothing.
Even having people reach out to potentially offer places at a live final.
Yes,
that's the sort of thing that's happening. So if you want to come to a kind of Egg Chasers Love Island hybrid tour to Mallorca.
Tier 2 Love Island final. What's your Australian Love Island?
Right, let the boys play.
Let the boys play. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.